Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to the Pastor's Study. There's a story that one day some very dark storm clouds were coming toward a cruise ship, and a woman goes up to the captain, "Captain, do you see that storm? Do you think we'll make it?" And he said, "Well, madam, we can only pray." She said, "Oh, it's come to that?" Like the last thing you do is pray. No, no, Christian, the first thing we do is pray. On this half hour, we're going to ask the question, how should I pray? I remember there was an elderly couple that went to the church I served every Sunday. The man was an usher. But one day their maybe 35-year-old daughter said to me, "You know, Pastor Tom, never once in my life have I seen my parents pray. Not before a meal. Never have I seen my parents pray." And that worried me. How many people go to church but never pray? I mean, here's why it worries me. Can you be a Christian and not give as much money as you should? I think you can. Can you be a Christian and not witness and share your faith as much as you should? I think you can. Can you be a Christian and miss church more than you should? I think you can. Can you be a Christian and never pray? I don't think so. So this half hour is crucial. If you don't have a prayer life, you got to start praying. I've shown this on TV before. Let me do it again. This hangs on the wall of my house. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, quote, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." In other words, your prayers are hugely important. There was a Methodist preacher by the name of Samuel Chadwick, and he wrote these words back in the early 1900s. "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. Satan fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. Satan laughs at our toil. He mocks at our wisdom. But Satan trembles when we pray." And you've maybe heard the old saying, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest Christian on his knees." So let us today talk about prayer. And let's start by praying. Father, we want to pray, if there's anyone watching this show who rarely or never prays, that they will start talking to you every single day. And those of us who are Christians and praying already, Lord, we pray that you will deepen our prayer life and speak to us on how that can happen now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. How to pray? Here are my thoughts. Number one, get a routine. It says in Luke 22, Jesus' custom was to go to the Mount of Olives and he would pray. Or I'll just tell you the reason I pray. I've got a prayer routine. In the morning, I get up, shave, brush my teeth, and that's when I pray. And then I exercise. Let's talk about exercise. I never used to exercise, but now I exercise about 4 times a week because I've got a routine. Right after I get done praying, that's normally when I exercise. So if you can get a routine, maybe you're an evening person, do it in the evening. I'm a morning person. But have some set routine, a normal time when you say your prayers. That'll help you pray. I was told by an old pastor when I was a young pastor. He said, "Tom, you need 1 hour alone with the Lord every day or you are going to burn out." And he said, in that hour, you can pray, you can read your Bible. Try to have 1 hour alone with the Lord. And I don't do that every single day, but often I do. And so I want to encourage you, have a regular routine where every day you pray, every day you read your Bible. Second thing to say about prayer, get alone. Luke chapter 5 says, "Great multitudes were gathering to hear Jesus to be healed of their sicknesses, but Jesus himself would slip away to the wilderness and pray." Mark chapter 5, "In the early morning, while it was still dark, he rose, went out, departed to a lonely place, and prayed. The point is, try to get alone. For some of you, maybe you've got a lot of kids in the house or whatever. It might mean taking a long walk all by yourself. Or it might mean taking a long drive by yourself. It certainly means this. This is what I have to do. Put this thing on off or put it in the other room so it cannot interrupt your prayers. Get alone. Next thing to say about prayer, get a special place. My special place to pray is on my knees next to my bed in my bedroom. But then I also have more, there's a certain railroad track that I walk down, have walked down, and I can pray at that railroad track. There is a certain hill here in the Twin Cities where I like to go up on that hill, look at the lake, and I can pray. But get a time, get a place. Next thing to say about prayer, a periodic prayer retreat. It says in Luke 6 that Jesus spent all night in prayer. There is a place near the Twin Cities called Possum Inn Terrace. You go there, they put you in a little cabin in the middle of the woods by yourself, and you can spend time with the Lord. I did that for 24 hours. They put me in this little cabin, they gave me some bread and cheese, and it was just me and the Lord for 24 hours. I was so peaceful by the end of that time. So sometimes, get away and find some camp or retreat center where you can get away. Next thing to say about prayer. Enjoy the gift of the Sabbath. And what I mean by that is, do you take one day a week when you don't work, and on that day you enjoy God, you enjoy life, you enjoy your family, but you don't work, you just spend more time with the Lord. Way back in 1981, when I moved to Minneapolis, if you drove by the shopping malls, all the parking lots were empty because everything was closed. Now, everything is full on Sunday. But think of this. I wonder if the reason we have so much divorce, nervous breakdowns, ulcers, mental health issues, nervousness, is it because we're not observing the Sabbath anymore? So try to take one day a week. Normally it's for Sunday for people, but Saturday for others. Take one day a week where you more wholeheartedly relax and spend time with the Lord. Next way to pray. Pray on your knees. It says in Luke 22 that Jesus prayed on his knees. It says in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul talks about praying on his knees. I was raised in a home where we were taught to pray. We were never on our knees. But then I go to college, and my college friends talk about praying on their knees. I've been doing it ever since. And the reason I lay on my bed sometimes and pray, or I walk and I pray. But for me to get on my knees and kneel while I'm praying, it helps me focus. It helps me concentrate. If you've never prayed on your knees, try that. Next way to pray on your face before God. When Jesus was praying in Matthew 26 in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he died, he wasn't on his knees. He was on his face, is what it says. There are days when you and I get so stressed out, it's good not just to get on your knees. Sometimes I actually do get on my face, and I pray to the Lord that way. Next thing to say about prayer. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. The norm is you pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. Now, a question we get is, who should I pray to? God the Father or God the Son, Jesus, or do I pray to the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer is you can pray to, there's one God, but God has three persons. You can pray to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But the norm is, you pray to God the Father, and then you end the prayer in Jesus' name. And when you say the words in Jesus' name, you're saying, God, don't do this because I deserve it, because I don't. Do this because of Christ and what he's done for me. I always end my prayers in Jesus' name. Next way to pray. Pray intimately. When you pray to God, just picture that you're praying to a Father who loves you more than any other father in the universe. Just pray intimately. Talk to God that way. You don't need to get formal with God. I never pray this way. O thou who dost reignest over the universe. O thou most omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent one. I don't talk to God like that. So you don't have to get formal. On the other hand, I wouldn't get too informal either. I never pray this way. Hey, big fella. Hey, man upstairs. No, no, no. You pray to your Father in heaven. Next, be brutally honest when you pray. Sometimes I encourage you to do this. Open to the book of Psalms, pick a psalm, and pray it out loud. The book of Psalms was David's prayer book. A lot of David's prayers were written down, and now they make up a portion of the book of Psalms. If you read this, David gets brutally honest with God. And you might as well. He knows everything anyway. You might as well be brutally honest. Many years ago, when I was young, I dated a young woman, a Christian woman, but she told me that sometimes she will go into her apartment, close the door, and yell at God. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. And I'm not encouraging you to do that, but that is better than giving God the silent treatment and never praying. So I wouldn't yell, but feel free to be real honest with God. He knows it all anyway. Another way to pray, periodically break the routine. I tend to pray for the same stuff all the time, and it can get kind of boring. But periodically, I break the routine, and I say, you know, God, you know what I prayed yesterday? Well, ditto, do that. And then I just pray. And that way, it can, you know, for instance, if you're a weightlifter, if you do the exact same routine of weightlifting, you never grow. But if you break the routine and mix it up, you grow. I think God can handle it if you say, God, what I prayed for yesterday, ditto, and now I'm just going to start praying about other stuff. That's okay. Next way to pray. Pray the scriptures. This is kind of a fun way to pray. It'll break the routine. Instead of saying your normal prayers, maybe just open up the Bible and let's say this happens to be, I just did this, Acts chapter 19, verse 11. And God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Then you stop. Lord, I pray that you'll perform miracles through me. Use me to touch people's lives. And then you read the next verse. So the things that were carried from Paul healed diseases and evil spirits went out. Lord, I would pray if I've got any kind of disease or my family and friends have evil spirits, cast them out. You know, you just verse by verse, you read a verse, you stop and pray. You read a verse, you stop and pray. Try that to spice up your prayer life. Another thing to say about prayer. Pray constantly. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. In the morning is when I normally have my concentrated prayer time, but then through the rest of the day, on and off, I'm praying in my head. I don't just pray in the morning. On and off, I pray all day long, and then I pray before I go to bed at night. Next thing to say, pray with others. I hope everybody watching this show prays by yourself. But I hope you have some people in your life with whom you can pray. This week, a friend of mine was having a very difficult time with her elderly mother. She called me and she kind of unloaded and we talked about it. And at the end, I said, you know what? Can we just pray for a minute? And we just took some time and on the phone we prayed. And then she prayed for me. I hope you have some people in your life with whom you can pray. I was at Hope Lutheran Church for 29 years. And if you've watched this show, you've heard this story. This is my favorite story. Here we go. We had an elderly organist at our church by the name of Helen. Helen was very Lutheran. Her father was a Lutheran pastor. Her husband was a Lutheran pastor. Two of her sons are Lutheran pastors. And when Helen played the organ and did the Lutheran liturgy, she didn't want you to budge the liturgy at all. She wanted to do the whole thing. And she was not a fan of the charismatic movement. I'm telling you all that because the reason I believe this story is because it happened to Helen. Here's the story. For many years, every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, the men of the church would come up to the altar, get on their knees, and pray at the altar while Helen was up in the choir loft softly playing the organ while we prayed. And then Helen would join us. All the men would go downstairs. We'd have donuts. One Saturday morning, I came out a little early, knelt there by myself, then the men joined me, then we all went down for donuts. And Helen says, Tom, when you came out by yourself, who was the man in the long white robe that knelt next to you? I said, Helen, there's nobody in a long white robe. Well, yeah, is there a play? Is there somebody in a costume here this morning? Is there a play tomorrow? I said, there's no play, nobody in a costume. Well, who's the man in the long white robe? She was so insistent, finally said, Helen, I don't know. Maybe it was an angel. And Helen said, no, this was real. That was Helen. Well, you know what? About a week later, she comes back to me and she said, I don't think it was an angel. I think it was the Lord, because she said his hair was long in the back. The reason I love that story, where does Jesus show up at our church? At the prayer meeting. So many churches don't even have a prayer meeting, and if they do, three people show up. Can I urge you to not pray just by yourself, pray with others. Get a prayer meeting at your church if you don't have one. That's where Jesus shows up. Next thing to say about prayer, pray for God's will. Night before Jesus died, he prayed, but then he said, God, not my will, your will be done. I think you can ask God for all kinds of things, but always end your prayer with, God, not my will. You're always knowing what's best. It only do this if it's your will. Jean Ingelou was a French philosopher who said, quote, I have lived to thank God he did not answer all my prayers. And Mrs. Billy Graham said, I thank God he did not answer all my prayers. If he did, I would have married the wrong man 5 times. Next thing to say about prayer, have faith as you pray. James chapter 1 says, when you pray, ask in faith. And it says in Romans 4, Abraham was sure what God has promised God was able to perform. So don't pray like this. This is called the prayer of doubt. God, are you up there? Anybody up there? God, if you're up there, I got this problem. It's huge. I'm not sure you can do anything with it, but that's called the prayer of doubt. Prayer of faith goes this way. God, I know you're up there. I got this problem. It's a big problem. For you, it's tiny. For me, it's big. And then you, in faith, put that into God's hands. That's called praying in faith. I heard this many years ago from an old Presbyterian preacher, and it just stuck in my head. Let me do this again. He said this. At the beginning of time, God rolled up his sleeves and God took a lump of clay. And he rolled that clay into a few small balls, threw it into the space to create the heavens and the earth. Then God took one of those little balls of clay and with his little fingernails, called the earth, he carved out the great ocean depths. He carved out the Himalaya mountains. He flicked the dust from his fingers, caused more stars to fill the sky. He looked again at the world. He filled the ocean with water, all kinds of swimming, incredible creatures. Then he populated the land with vegetation and animals and all kinds of creatures and mankind. All within the palm of God's hand, he maintains and sustains all the galaxies, all the solar systems, all the planets that spin throughout infinite space. Now, is God big enough for your problem? Think how big God is, and then pray. And then, next thought on prayer, allow room for God to do it his way. In the 300s in northern Africa lived Monica, her unbelieving husband, and her unbelieving son, Augustine. Monica wanted her son, Augustine, to come to Christ, and he was not interested. When he was a young adult, he takes Monica to church, and the story goes that while Monica was in church, Augustine slipped out of the back of the church, got on a ship, and sailed for Rome. He had told his mother he wanted to go to Rome, but she prayed, God, don't let him go to Rome. He'll never become a Christian if he's not around me. Don't let him go. He got on the ship and he went, broke his mother's heart. In Italy, he meets Ambrose, the great preacher, Saint Ambrose, we call him today, the great preacher of that age. He sat under Ambrose's sermons. And finally, with Monica coming over to, I think in Milan, she watched him baptize her son, Augustine. Augustine went on to become one of the greatest preachers and theologians in the history of the church. Saint Augustine is who we're talking about. But I want you to notice something from that story. God did not honor the prayer of Monica's lips, keep him from Rome, but he answered the prayer of her heart, save my boy. My point is, Pray whatever you will, but then allow God to do it in His way and in His timing. Last point, never give up. Luke chapter 18, it says, "Now Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart." In other words, never give up praying. Don't be too hard on yourself if your mind wanders when you pray. A friend of mine told me, "I get such evil sexual thoughts when I pray. Well, keep praying anyway. And, you know, if you don't see answers to prayer, if you miss prayer, if you miss a day, just never, ever give up praying. Always go back to it. Let's summarize what we've learned. Pray at all times. Pray intimately. Get a special place. Get a special routine. Maybe go on a periodic prayer retreat. Enjoy the gift of the Sabbath. Pray on your knees. Pray on your face. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Pray intimately. Be brutally honest. Periodically break the routine. Pray the scriptures. Pray with others. Pray for God's will. Have faith as you pray. Allow God to do it His way and never give up. That's how you pray. One last thought. In a southern town, there was a cotton factory that had a bunch of looms, and there was a sign on the wall, "If your loom breaks, buzz for the supervisor." Well, a new young woman is working on one of the loom machines, and her threads get tangled, and instead of calling for the supervisor, she tried to fix it herself, and the more she tried, the more tangled it got. Finally, she rang the buzzer, and the supervisor comes down. "Well, you tried to fix this yourself, didn't you?" "Well," she said, "I did the best I could." And he said, "No, doing the best you can is ringing for me." Why do you pray? Because the best thing you can do, Christian, is not try to fix things yourself. You buzz for the supervisor. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the pastor's study where we now ask Pastor Tom to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with Him. Pastor Brock, if a person has a physical disease and they've prayed about it many times but still nothing has happened, should they stop praying for something?
Mm-hmm. Or, well, is it 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I think? Paul has a thorn in the flesh. We're not sure what it was. It might have been a disease or it might have been an enemy. We don't know what it was. But Paul had this thorn in the flesh. Three times he said, "God, take this away." Finally, God said, "No, I'm not going to take it away. My grace is made perfect in weaknesses. This is to keep you humble, Paul." So I think if some way the Lord tells you time to stop praying about that, then you stop. But if not, I've got arthritis in my shoulder. I am not going to stop praying for that until either the Lord helps me or He tells me get an operation or whatever.
So what do you pray about the most?
Personally, I pray the most for the salvation for my family and friends and the world. The main prayer is not heal grandma's lumbago, it's make grandma a Christian before she dies. I mainly pray for people's salvation. I pray for the suffering stuff too. But if you looked at my prayers, I think the biggest single prayer is I'll list people that I'll ask God to save and bring to Christ.
Well, everybody sins, don't they, Tom?
Yes, they do.
So does God hear our prayers if we're sinning?
Well, David says in the Psalms, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, God does not hear." So, Jackie, we all sin. But if you're not sorry about it, you're not confessing it to the Lord, you're just living a life of sin, then he's not obligated to hear your prayers.
Okay. Jesus said that we're supposed to pray in His name, but, you know, so often you hear people that never say in Jesus' name, yeah. They just say amen without praying in His name. Is God still hearing their prayers?
You know, I think so. I don't want to be legalistic about it, but because Jesus said, quote, "Whatever you ask in the Father in my name, I will grant you." I virtually never just say amen. I always say in Jesus' name. And again, what that means is do it because of Christ, not because I deserve it, but do it in Christ's name, in His will, because of Him.
If a person has enough faith, will their prayers be answered?
I think.
Or is faith not an issue in
prayer? No, faith is an issue. In James chapter 1, he says, does anyone lack wisdom? Let him ask in faith. But let him ask in faith and not doubting, because the double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. So faith is important. You got to believe he's up there. But so God answers all of our prayers, Jackie. Sometimes he says no. And if I pray that my mother will be healed and she dies of her brain tumor like she did, that was God's will. So yes, he answered my prayer, but his answer was no, I'm going to take her home.
Okay. What are the omnis of prayer? I've never heard of that.
Yeah. You know, I was a Lutheran little boy, and I went to confirmation when I was 12. I think the first thing the pastor taught us were the three omnis of God. The word omni is, I don't know, Greek, Latin, I'm not sure. It means all. Omnipresent, that means God is existing everywhere. Omnipotent, that means he's all-powerful. And omniscient, that means he's all-knowing. So when you pray, remember God's omnipresent. Wherever you are on this planet, he's going to hear you. Know that he's omnipotent. He can do anything. And then omniscient. He knows everything, so you might as well be honest when you're praying. That's what we think of when we pray.
Okay, how about the Lord's Prayer? People seem to think that if they pray that, they've prayed.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at the New Testament, I pray the Lord's Prayer, but then I have my what they call free prayers, where I just talk to God. Don't restrict your prayer life to the Lord's Prayer. You know, there's so it's good to pray it, but that ain't it.
Well, we want to thank you for being with us this week. This half hour has gone so quickly, and I think we have some more questions that we could ask of Tom, but we'll have to put them off for next time. We pray that God would be with you, granting you his richest blessings until we're all together again next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.